Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for October 13th. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and with me is Jim Allen. What's happening, bud? How you doing?
I'm in baseball heaven.
You don't sound like it. You sound like you're in baseball droopyville. Wake up, man. It's the playoffs.
Yeah, some great stuff going on, but I'm in such a funk about the way they're going on.
What is it? The timing not right for you? Can I call somebody and get these things on at a better time for you, a better hour in the day for you? Is that what it is?
No, that ain't it. We will discuss. I will divulge.
All right. On this week's show, we're going to talk about the Central and Pacific League Climax Series. We're going to discuss the managerial changes, and we're going to make our predictions for the second stage. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases.
Okay, well, I see on the notes here that today is a trivia question from this cat named Jim. Oh, that's me. Okay.
Yeah. Are you okay. Just now reading the notes again?
No.
Okay.
I read it 30 seconds ago.
Okay. We won't count that as just now.
So today, what I'm down about is the idiotic nature of the Climax Series rules.
Oh, you know, Hoshino, Senichi Hoshino was on the news tonight talking about the fact.
Oh, yeah.
About this draw that occurred with the Tigers and the Carp, and saying, you know, we're men. Let's play until there's a winner.
Right. Especially they play in the daytime. There's no excuse.
Yeah. All right. So what's your question?
Okay. How many Climax Series stages have been decided by ties?
Oh. In the whole world of Climax Series
in the
stages?
Since 2007, so that's six a year.
2007, you mean only in the Central League?
No. Climax Series, though they're in both, yeah. Only since it became the Climax Series.
Oh, only since the name became Climax,
Climax Series.
2007. Oh, let's see. There was the one in Fukuoka where Nobuhiko Matsunaka was running onto the field by himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one other time, I think, that involved the Lotte Marines. So I'll say three.
Well, the answer is three.
But it wasn't the Lotte Marines.
It was not.
Oh, well, it was somebody.
It wasn't decided on a tie game, but it was decided by a tie. It was the 2008 Central League final stage, when the Giants tied game three and won it in game four. They won two games on the field to advance to the Japan Series.
Oh, that's right. And I was thinking 2010 for some reason. That's why I was thinking Lotte. But I got the number right, and that's what matters.
You did indeed. And then 2011. Now, the interesting thing is these things are happening every 3 years. 2008, 2011 was the November 5th game. The Hawks were leading 2-0 in that series, and it was tied after 12, and somebody didn't know the rules. But, you know, Matsunaka should have stayed on the field and said,
come on, guys.
Exactly.
It's time to party.
What are we doing? And that game's card, that was part of the trick question, actually, because the Hawks didn't tie the game. They won the game.
Oh, that's right.
But it's a trick question because
they didn't need.
It was because they clinched it with a tie. The series was over at the top of the 12th inning.
They
did clinch it with a tie, but they actually won the game.
Yeah. Today I heard the funniest thing is in the interview on TV, once the Tigers and the Carp finished their 12 inning, or it's actually 11 and a half inning draw. Mm-hmm. The announcer said he called it a walk-off draw.
Sayonara Ikiwake.
Yeah, I think he was trying to add some drama where there was none. And he's like, this is a real rare case. And I'm like, no, it isn't. I've seen this before. And stop trying to make drama when there is none.
It's almost like when they came up with this whole Climax Series, which is a horrible name.
Yeah.
And they thought, what kind of rules can we make it so that there's as little climax as possible?
Yeah.
First of all, it ain't the climax to anything because it's essentially the quarterfinals and semifinals of the Japan Series tournament.
Yeah.
So it's the start of the Japan Series tournament. It's not the end of anything.
It's the pre-max.
Yeah, it's the pre-max. It's the I'm not going to say things that I can't say in the public.
And I'm going to follow suit, but you guys can think on your own.
Okay. So there's a few words we could have for that, but we're not going to divulge.
Right.
So they had the rule where you can win by a tie. You can have the rule where it goes 12 innings. I mean, what else can you? What else can you do to make it less interesting? Because tell MPB and that's what they'll do. As a central, they go, great, great idea. This will be even more boring and less interesting. Let's do it. Yeah. That sounds like old-timey baseball.
This will suck all the fun out of it and make those dreaded fans go home so we can have our stadium to ourselves.
That's right. So today we had the third tie in history.
Yeah. Well, I guess, was it or the third clinching, series clinching
well,
tie?
Well, that's true. It was the second tie.
Yeah.
And it was the first one that finished as a tie to clinch a series.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
So, yeah, before that on Saturday, the Tigers got past the Carp 1-0, and that was behind a Kosuke Fukudome home run and Randy Messenger throwing 8 scoreless innings. And then today, obviously, Sunday, we had the 12-inning. Or 11.5 inning, as I like to say, a draw. And, it sounds like we're talking about soccer when we talk about a scoreless draw, but that gave them their franchise first climax series victory.
Yep.
And pushed them into the second round, and they're going to play the Giants, and that series starts on Wednesday. And now tell me about, going back to game one of this series, I I'm watching it. I was tweeting a lot because I wasn't at work. And
that explains it.
Yeah, I was at work on Sunday.
I didn't tweet. I was kind of overloaded with work, so I didn't tweet too much on Saturday. I did, but today I was more or less focusing on the game, so I tweeted a bit.
No, not one peep or tweet out of me all day. But Kosuke, I think I tweeted a little bit before Kosuke hits this home run. I think it was somewhere around the fifth inning, and I just said, my Kenta Maeda, the eighth for the Carp, he's pitching really well, but it just seems like a matter of time before the bubble bursts, and
right.
I didn't know how it was going to burst, and obviously,
Well, you didn't know it was going to burst.
I figured it was. I could smell it.
You believed it was.
I knew it was happening, man.
Oh.
I knew it.
Give me a break. then you're talking about you knowing things you can't know.
Well, let's put it this way. If I were a betting man, I would have put down a boatload of money because I knew it was going to happen.
Okay, let me see that boatload of money, and then we'll continue this discussion.
That's the problem. Okay. Fukudome, of all people, hits this home run, and I'm thinking, why do these people continue to throw this guy fastballs? I remember from way back he struggles with off-speed pitches, and if you're going to throw him a fastball, there's absolutely no reason to throw one over the plate. Get it close enough to where you can get him to go fishing, but I would never throw him a strike with a fastball. And obviously, Kenta Maeda missed with the pitch, and it ends up right down the middle, and he cracked it pretty good, but...
Yeah, he crushed it.
Yeah, and it was good to see Randy Messenger get that run and go out and hold his nerve in the seventh inning and the eighth inning and keep the game scoreless, and they end up getting the victory. But the thing for me was, I hate to say this because it's like the guy's dead and I'm speaking ill of the dead, but Kenjiro Nomu, the manager for the Carp, it's like he managed this game, this whole series, to lose. He didn't do enough, it didn't seem to me, to get his guys in a better position. I think I mentioned on the show last week that I thought Deontay Heath was going to pitch out of the bullpen, which he did, and he pitched fairly well. It wasn't his fault. But, I mean, Ichioka was a really good pitcher early in the season for him, and he did get out of the jam that he got in, but it was a whole lot of unnecessary stress for them. I don't know why they didn't go to Nakazaki earlier and just... I don't know. It just didn't seem like he did enough. Picking on him.
I think I don't want to speak too harshly about it because it's such a difficult situation. And the whole thing is weird about Nomura deciding to leave. Because the Carp weren't saying, we're going to push you out the door. But
yeah.
At least not what I had heard.
Yeah, I didn't hear that, but.
But I think, well, the carp were always obnoxious anyway, but he's a carp hero. So I think what it was might have been something like, A, they're basically telling me I have to win this year. I mean, the team has come a long way in a hurry under him, and I really like that. But he's idiosyncratic. I like him personally. He's a great guy. He's very friendly and open and very talkative. But, yeah, he does weird things sometimes. Well, you know, it's managers do weird things a lot because they've got so many things to decide upon. But yet I think the decision to use Kenta Maeda on 4 days rest.
That's exactly where I was going.
He'd been worked a lot. He's had a kind of an injury, you know, he's had these little dings and dangs or whatever you want to call them, nicks, knacks or whatever, all season long. He's missed a start here and a start there. He's probably missed about 3 starts. And he looked like he was rushing everything the last couple of starts. He lost against Tigers. He lost against the Giants that left him in second place. And now it's like push him into the front of the front row so he can pitch. And I understand the logic because if he gets you through game one, then you can get him in game one of the second stage.
Yeah, in theory.
In theory, but it was in retrospect, you know, I think that was a tough choice. But having said that, if you said, "Oh, give me 6 innings, give me one run from 6 innings on 4 days rest," what would you say? I'll take it.
Yeah, I don't think I would say that that's a bad idea or that's, you know, that.
The thing was that after the start, somebody said, was pitching on 4 days rest a problem? He said, no, once you get on the mound, it's irrelevant. And Nomura said, well, you can't blame it on him because he was working on short rest. Well, he was working on short rest because who let him?
Yeah,
because
you put him out there, yeah.
Exactly. So that's kind of odd. But, you know, in retrospect, it wasn't a bit. Kenta Maeda was not the problem the Carp had.
Yeah, I would say the 6 innings and one run is good. But then again, in a playoff series, one run can beat you. And
true.
And I would say that if I had a fully rested Kenta Maeda, I would expect maybe 7 or 8 innings with one run. And maybe in that, they still would have lost this game because they didn't score in the whole
series. Exactly. And hence the problem. And he said, oh, it was the problem of the leadoff guys. They didn't get on base. Well, that's true.
Yeah, well, they didn't sniff any bases, but that was only part of the problem. They didn't. Last year they hit with some power in that series and they got a big home run and they won. And this year they just didn't get any of that. But, you know, before that, I just didn't think it was a good idea to pitch Kenta Maeda on the Monday and then have him come back and start that series on the Saturday. That's not full rest in Japan. They're not used to it.
And exactly.
Like you said, they were riding.
And also, he's going to, you know, they know they're going to play 2 games or 3 games, whether it's in Hiroshima or Hanshin. They're still going to play 2 or 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to play at home, but you're still going to play the games. It's not like you don't know the schedule.
Right.
Well, Kenjiro might not have known the schedule.
It's quite possible.
I'm sorry.
You said you weren't going to speak.
I've really gotten off that bandwagon for the last couple of years as kind of a parting gag.
Because
I have actually, he has done so many things right for the Carp.
He has. And maybe,
the little things sometimes is sort of his idiosyncrasies are funny, or, you know, they're humorous, you know, in a second guessing sort of irritating analytical point of view, but I don't have too many complaints about him overall.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, the players are the guys on the field who didn't get on base. And I was looking at the first game and they only had 4 hits and I think they had a walk. They didn't really create a lot of chances, but the one chance they did create, I think early on in that first game, they didn't do anything. They didn't hit and run. They didn't, they got a leadoff batter on in the second inning and they didn't do anything. And then in the 5th inning, they got a leadoff batter on, and they didn't do anything again, and they ended up not scoring. And after that, they got a walk, and that was the leadoff walk in the 8th inning. And again, they did nothing. They sat back with guys, and this is what really frustrated me is, and I'm not even a Carp fan, but I'm thinking, okay, Kikuchi's not hitting. Why don't we sacrifice with him, even if you were setting up Maru with 2 outs? And they didn't do that, and they had – they wasted these opportunities. And to be honest, I really didn't even see Heath come out and pitch I guess he pitched the eighth inning and got two outs in the eighth inning. And I was
I didn't even remember it. By that time I was wrapping up the story. It was a two-man lead.
Yeah, I had flipped over to watch the Pacific League game, and by the time I got back, I missed his two quick outs. So, I'm glad they put him in that role. I thought that would be good for him. And so that was something outside the box, and that was something I want to praise him for. I thought that was a good move for him. I thought that bullpen needed some help. But that being said, and again today, you can't blame him because they didn't give up any runs. So all his bullpen moves today ended up working out for him. So, but again, they didn't do enough on the offensive side. So I just noticed in the first game, Kikuchi was swinging at pitches he couldn't do anything with. You know, even if he makes good contact with them, and what is good contact on a pitch around your eyes? I mean, you know, it's a pop up.
And, yeah, he had better at-bats today for sure.
But, yeah, he had better at-bats, but no good luck. And then Yoshihiro Maru, he just disappeared. Yeah,
he didn't have any good at-bats. He didn't have good at-bats today.
Any time at all. And he just looked like they were flailing and they were clueless. And that really helped out Messenger a lot, but it helped out the pitchers today as well. So we go to today, and the rookie, Daichi Osara, gets the start, which I was a little bit surprised about that, but it was good. He pitched well.
He was super. I mean, well, of course, he was very good. I mean, his pitch is very crisp. And yes. of course, and then when you get the carp, when you can keep the ball in the infield, of course, they did save a run for him.
Yes, they did early on. Yeah.
Sayogi saved a run.
Yeah,
so when you keep the ball in the infield with the carp defense behind you, you can pretty much put a zero on the scoreboard.
Well, it was a good. I mean, I thought it was his best, and I know he's thrown a shutout earlier this year, but I thought it was his best effort because there were two things. Like you said, his pitches were nice and crisp, but he's got a nice live fastball and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, he kept everything out of the middle of the plate. I think he made a couple of pitches over the plate, but they didn't get contact with him. And then he's going to get up against Nomi, who's kind of been flat this year in terms of his numbers.
Nomi's always like that. He's one of these guys who's exceptionally good when he's got two of his pitches working. He's pretty darn tough. It's just that, you know, he's Russian roulette.
Yeah.
He's pretty much good start, bad start.
Yeah, well,
when he's good, he's really, really good. And when he's bad, he's pretty awful.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times it's mostly about whether he's got control of two pitches, because if he's only got one, he doesn't really throw hard enough to
keep everybody else. Right, he doesn't have the velocity, he doesn't have the great movement, but he's got the variety he has is quite good. When he's got two working, he's pretty effective.
Yeah, but as for Osara, I think, you know, he was as poised as I've seen him look. And the other thing was he was really enjoying the moment, because a lot of times you see him smile. Even if he got a ball called on a pitch that he thought it was a strike, he just smiled and he said, "Okay, I'll get him with the next pitch." And he did. I think it was, you know, he wasn't timid. He was aggressive with his fastball. It was fantastic for the Carp. I think it bodes well for them. I think he really pitched better than Kenta Maeda did the day before.
I think so too.
Not just because of the result.
And he fielded, and he fielded well. He did everything about the Carp except their at bats was superb. And Nomi was really good. And I have less faulting them today than yesterday. But Randy Messenger was pretty darn tough yesterday, and they didn't. You know, they made it a little easier on him.
Yeah. Well, and the only thing, again, I fault Nomura for, and I hate to do this, like I said, because he's leaving and he's, you know, that was his last game.
Why not give him a little kick?
But I just want to pile some dirt on there. I don't know about kicking. I don't believe in kicking, but you can pile the dirt on. That's fine.
What, like bury him alive?
Well, I'm assuming he's dead.
Wow.
Assuming.
He'll be dead to you pretty soon, man.
Assuming.
Don't talk to me, Gibson.
Yeah, but late in the game, Kikuchi got his one and only hit of the series, and that's in the 11th inning, and it was leading off the inning, right? So Maru's coming up, and he's got no hits in the series,
right?
And they don't have him bunt. And I just, I'm screaming at the, you know, I'm at work, of course, so in my mind it's screaming, but what's actually coming out of my mouth is, what are you doing here? What are we doing? What's the plan? You know, what is the plan?
It never sounded screaming to me. It was always like,
whining.
It's very quiet, and then John's talking to the computer. It's always kind of humorous. We're all looking and going, John's having a dialogue with somebody with
a monologue.
We can't see about the umpires.
It's a monologue.
And you don't know if you're supposed to answer him or just humor him or call public health.
You can do all of the above.
I really enjoyed the series. I mean, the whole thing is a cosmic letdown about the way it's decided that the higher seeded team advances on with one win and a tie, or however many wins and a tie. And it gets worse in the second round, where the home team gets a free win.
Yeah. Okay.
Another thing that was kind of interesting, I saw that the dumbest single approach to a pitch that I've ever seen in Japan.
And that is?
And this was leading off the bottom of the first on Saturday, Tsuyoshi Nishioka, who came back from an injury.
Your buddy.
My buddy. And he had a good game today, actually. He had a couple of good at-bats. I didn't see towards the end, but he had a couple of good at-bats at the start of the game, and he made a great play on defense, which was on the tag play. Because so Yogi's on first base, and Tetsuya Kokubo hits a little line drive to shallow center, and Yamato Maeda comes up with the ball, charges it really, really well, fields it on a hop, and throws a perfect strike to third. And what Nishioka does is he decoys the runner into thinking there's no play. And he's standing there, you know, he's practically picking his nose at third base, like nothing's going on. And all of a sudden, bam, there's the ball, there's the tag. And I think if he doesn't decoy him, you know, if he's getting there ready, I think Soyogi's got a little extra juice.
You think so? I thought he was running hard all the way, but.
He was, but he might have, you know, he might have had a hook slide, or he might have had another strategy, because the tag only beat him. His bag was about 2 inches off his foot was about 2 inches off the bag when he got the tag, so he wouldn't have needed much more.
Yeah.
So anyway, so that was a great play. But anyway, so game one, we go back, and Nishioka's tries to bunt his way on by doing something I haven't seen except in high school sacrifice situations, which is he starts the at-bat, and he's doing what MLB announcers accuse Norichika Aoki of doing, which is running to first before he swings.
Yeah.
he tried to get a bunt down by running to first and throwing his bat at the ball and thinking he's Hunter Pence and he's actually going to hit it. So the bat ends up on the ground, the ball ends up in the catcher's glove, and he's standing there looking, well, like Tsuyoshi Nishioka. So anyway, but that was kind of fun. But he straightened up. He had a pretty good game tonight, which surprised me. But nothing like one I remember. But then anyway, long story. So yeah, it was a fun story. It's such a disappointment the way it turned out. But yeah. Okay, I'll get over it.
Yeah, and so
give me 3 years until the next one happens.
Yeah, so congratulations to the Tigers. They're going to start that series against the Giants on Wednesday. And who you got? I'm going to say, I'll give you some time to think here. I'm going to say, or I'm just assuming that you weren't ready. I'm going to say in on-the-field games, it'll be 5 on-the-field games, and I think the Giants are going to win in 5 games on the field, so that means 3 games to 2. Yeah, 3 games to 2 on the field. That would be 4 games to 2 in the series.
I'm gonna go 3-1. I don't think there will be a tie this time because it's pretty rare.
I'm never gonna predict a tie, probably. Not again.
Yeah.
Not again.
Yeah, like
I think
said,
I did once a long time ago, but I won't do it again.
Well, there's 18. We've had one game for every 18 climax series, individual series. So that would be probably, hold on, four, every 12 series. So that would probably be a mistake. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the one game for the Tigers and two for the Giants. Of course, you want to see a close game, a long series, a dramatic series. But we'll see. Good luck, and good luck to all the guys.
Yep. All right, so in the Pacific League now, that series is not decided because we had a really, really fantastic game on Sunday. A 6-3 win for the Fighters against the Buffaloes on Saturday. And, yeah, that was kind of interesting. Of course, you know, Shohei Ohtani pitched okay. He had one shaky inning early on, and he gave up a hit to open the inning, and then there was two walks and two hit batters that combined to force in two runs, and he gave up the two there. And then once they got him the lead, he ended up giving up a run again, and they came back, the Fighters did, and put him out in front. He ends up getting the victory. But, you know, the thing I said about Moriwaki, I think I said it in last week's show, that he'd blow a game, and I think this was it in the series, that he just, I don't think he needed to pull his ace, Chihiro Kaneko, so early. He was only 85 pitches into this thing. Yes, he had given up a couple runs and it didn't look good. He had a rocky inning, but I don't think we needed to get him out of the game, especially when you're putting in the game in the hands of a guy who you've demoted from one time. Well, not him, not Moriwaki himself, but he has been demoted from closer to setup guy to now, what is he, mope? I don't even know what his role is.
And yeah, he's going to send Mamoru Kishida
out there to with the game on the line?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Why he picked why he went to Kishida is kind of a concern.
Kind of a concern?
Other than the fact that, as I said last time, what I do like about Moriwaki is he's fearless about using any of these guys, and yeah, Tatsuya Sato blew that game wide open.
Yeah, but
Kishida, I mean, it could have been, I like that on a team aspect, but in this case, I have to agree with you. Kishida would be the guy I would have stayed away from, just like I would have stayed away from Mahara, although Mahara has been pretty stable recently. I'm getting the feeling his shoulder is actually functioning.
I don't know about stable. He hasn't been a game wrecker, but he hasn't been a game fixer.
Well, that's
either.
What I mean, because he had been.
Well, I mean, but yeah, today he essentially did wreck that game. They picked him up. They got him, and it could have been worse because he ended up loading the bases with two out. Mm-hmm. But he got a strikeout. He strikes out the Pacific League RBI leader with the bases loaded, so that got him looking.
Love me some show strikeouts.
So, yeah, I mean, but I thought Hideki Kuriyama, the skipper for the Fighters, remained calm. He made good decisions in that first game. He could have made a panic move and yanked Ohtani early, and he didn't, and he left him out there. And then
he gave him three 1-2-3 innings after that.
Yep, yep. And I mean, it just seems that he, with pitching with the lead or with the game even, that he was a little bit shaky, Ohtani was. But once he got behind, it seemed like he just threw caution to the wind and just started pitching and, you know, throwing obviously the fastball, but working the corners and trying to throw his secondary stuff and trying to get swings and misses with him. And if not, try to get the guys to hit the ball on the ground. And I mean, it was a really calm, quiet three innings in between there. And then he gave up the run again. But of course, he still went six innings. And I just, you know, Moriwaki, I knew he was going to blow a game. And then,
again, you thought.
I'm sorry.
I believed. I had a strong conviction. Stay away from the knowing.
I'm so glad I have another father figure out there to correct me. I'm taking you to Vegas when I know something else, all right? that'll be where I get the boatload of money. You're bankrolling it, Alan.
Gibson, are you dreaming?
You're bankrolling it, Alan, because I know what's happening. And I know that you'll bankroll it.
I know I'm not going there.
I know you'll bankroll it because you know that I know. Anyway. I was pretty confident, and I was sure that Moriwaki would blow a game with his managing, and he did. So they came back today in game two, and they win it on a home run in the eighth inning by Takahiro. I like to call him T.O. Okada. and he hits this three-run blast. I mean, no doubter, off the back wall in Kyocera Dome, and
well, off the
up the deck,
facing
the facade
of the uppermost deck.
Yeah, and I mean on the line. I mean, this was no doubt. You know, this is one. If you're out in the outfield, you don't even try to catch.
Yeah, they were looking. The guy, the right fielder, who was it? Nishikawa was looking to see how hard it was going to come off of the facing, you know, it's like, or maybe I can catch this and keep it as a souvenir.
Yeah. So, a lot of drama because I thought this game was set up to be the Inaba game where he comes in the eighth inning. He gets a single, mm-hmm. an RBI single to put the fighters ahead. And, you know, they just had to get six more outs and they sent out Tanimoto. And this is, you know, one thing I didn't get to mention last week about the Buffaloes is that they don't really have a left-handed reliever. And at that point, you would have wanted to bring in a left-handed reliever to face Inaba, and they didn't have one. And he ends up getting a hit. But conversely, the fighters don't really have great relief pitching. It's adequate. It has gotten them this far, but it's not great.
Yeah, it's sort of a mix and match, and I think they're comfortable. You know, again, it's a lot like Oryx. I guess if you took away Yoshihisa Hirano, it's a lot like Oryx. And they have a bunch of guys, you know, they have Tatsuya Sato and they have, Higa.
Higa, yeah.
One more. And a couple of other guys. I think, Nakayama is an interesting character, but
interesting,
he's so unpredictable.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a soft tosser like that out of the bullpen. I don't think he's effective unless.
No, he's a special use. You know, he's a special needs kind of.
Special use, special needs, something like that.
I mean, you can get guys who can't, you know, who are kind of weak with breaking balls because he's always had a heck of a curveball.
Curveball, yeah, that's his thing. So,
and I've always liked him as a pitcher. But more than not as much as hitters have liked as a pitcher.
Well, but, in this case, yeah.
But yeah, their bullpen, the fighters' bullpen, is it's pretty deep. It's not spectacular, but it's deep. You know, it's there's not a lot. They don't have too many loose cannons running around out there.
Well,
Oryx has got a whole, you know, boatload of them.
Yeah, I just think they've gone through a lot of these guys. Even Michael Crotter earlier this year, we talked to him on the show, and
Anthony Carter.
And I just think a lot of the guys that they trust with the ball, they think can get them through a situation, whether it's one batter or a couple batters or an inning. Just didn't get the job done today in this respect. I mean, you know, they probably, if they have another chance tomorrow, it's very likely, tomorrow I'm saying Monday, it's very likely they could come through. But I don't think they have a strong bullpen, and it reared its ugly head today for them in this respect because they didn't, I don't think they were ready to take Tanimoto out, and he really wasn't, he obviously was teetering. And he didn't get the job done, and he threw a ball. Again, we talk about the middle pitch that Kenta Maeda threw to Kosuke Fukudomi, and this was center cut, middle, please hit me, I'm free. I mean, this is the kind of ball where, you know, you don't get it back, and even the guys who don't have power hit those kinds of pitches really hard, so... Yeah, obviously, Okada hit the ball out, and it was very dramatic. Right after they had lost the lead, they got it back, and this was, you know, in the sixth inning. I think it was the sixth or seventh inning. Esteban Herman got them even with a double, and the emotions were really high, and then right after that, Inaba puts the fighters back on top. So there's a lot of emotional swings in the game, and so it was good for them to win that game, but now we're talking about game three, and Yuki Nishi, who hasn't won a game, I think, since August. He's lost like five.
Won a game since August. He was going downhill at the time of the All-Star break.
Yeah, five consecutive decisions he has lost. He hasn't really looked good. Mm-hmm. And even though he has pitched better recently, I don't think he's in great mental shape to go out there and pitch. And they named Luis Mendoza as the starter, the fighters have, but I think they're ready to go with a variety of guys if they don't like the way he looks early on. And I think they have the advantage. But I'm going to stick with my pick. My pick was the Buffaloes to get through. And I'm going to predict that they somehow find a way.
You don't know?
Hey, the things I know, I tell you.
Okay.
Mr. Smarty Pants.
Let me check my text message. Wow, John, you know a lot. Okay.
I'm about to jump through this computer.
No, you ain't.
Well, no.
Excuse me, no, you aren't. So, anyway, the other thing about this game, I guess, that deserves mention is how good the starting pitching was.
Yep. Yeah, well.
I mean, Brandon Dixon had a tough first inning.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, he was really good. And then, of course, Mr. Rookie Uesawa was a 5 1/3 perfect innings.
Yep, perfect.
Although, you know, he missed some pitches and lucked out, and he got a couple of good catches. But he was comfortably wild.
Mm-hmm.
Uncomfortably wild if you were the Buffaloes, because he was all over the place. But his pitches were moving.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that, and that was kind of fun. As far as tomorrow, Nishi, yeah, I dreaded the idea that they were going to use him at any point in the series. I would much rather see Matsuba or somebody else.
Anybody else, it sounds like.
Nishi in relief, even.
Yeah, we'll see how it works out for him. I think that tomorrow, if Moriaki is going to have a quick trigger, I completely understand. You know, if it's the third inning, it's the third inning and he walks the leadoff batter. And
I think if he puts two guys on in the first inning, I think it's time to pull the plug on Nishi.
Well, I don't know if that it is or that it will be or that the plug will be pulled, but I know that people will be warming up at that point. So, we can expect it. But, Luis Mendoza, this has been a strange season for him because in some respects he's pitched really well. And didn't get run support, and then some games he's really bombed out and hasn't done well at all. So
seen the Fighters two best, and we've seen the Buffaloes two best.
And now,
So now it's down to the what's left on the clearing room floor or the cutting room floor. So gonna be fun. It's gonna be interesting. It could be I think it could be a pretty high scoring game tomorrow.
Yeah,
if they get to play it, because
obviously we've had some bad weather. We've had typhoon threats, and there's one tomorrow in the morning. But I think even if the typhoon hits that area, it'll pass through, and by evening time, afternoon, it should probably be because it's supposed to be here in the morning, here in Tokyo in the morning, so it could be it could have passed through in the afternoon.
Well, okay, in case that isn't an issue. Because if this Typhoon Wangfang is in the Osaka area, nobody's going to want to be at a baseball game.
Yeah, then the only reason they are playing at Kyocera Dome, but the only reason they would stop the game postpone the game or think about doing such a thing is because people can't get there or they're not willing to travel in the.
Of course, you know the teams will be there practicing.
Yeah. Yes, of course. It's baseball. You've got to practice.
Right.
So I'm gonna go. Like I said, I'm gonna go with the Buffaloes. But I mean.
Yeah, me too.
Honestly, I don't really think it matters because in the next series, I'm gonna take SoftBank to win, and I think they're gonna reach in five games on the field as well. I have them.
Okay. Now I think the Hawks are gonna do it in four, and I'll tell you why because. When they had that really awful streak at the end of September, they were – one thing that I hadn't noticed until I guess a couple of days ago. But now, obviously, the SoftBank is not the team they were in the first half. And the biggest reason they're not the team they were in the first half is a guy who was quietly having a very good year, who is Yuichi Honda. Because when he left, when he was hurt, I think it was August 1st or August 2nd. Now, the Pacific League's ERAs jump, from August and September, they're about 2/10 of a run higher across the league. With the Hawks, it was a half a run higher with him out. That's one side. Now, it wasn't, of course, that's not all him. And I should say that's not counting Otonari. Their ERA was pretty good because Otonari didn't pitch in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quite good in the second half. But the other thing was Honda's basically a singles guy who steals bases. But they replaced him with guys who can't do that. They replaced him with guys who can't hit at all. So that was a drain. Now Yuki Inagita didn't do much in the second half, but that's okay. That's not so relevant. But the fact that they don't really have any second baseman is kind of an issue. But I still think, now what I noticed about the Hawks was that they played a lot of games one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
They had very little rest at the end of the season when they were losing all those games.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, they come out on 4 or 5 days rest and they play the Buffaloes in an important game
at home,
and they can hang with them. Although the Buffaloes were a much hotter team going in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having now had rest, and probably more rest than they wanted, because they went to Miyazaki to play 3 practice games in the fall instructional league there, and 2 of them were rained out.
Thank you very much for coming.
So they basically got to check out the rain in Miyazaki.
Right.
But they're well rested, and I think for the Hawks that was the big issue. So I think they'll do it in 4.
Okay. And that's 4. So 3
4 games on the field, they'll win the series 4-1.
Yeah. All right. It's crazy that we have to define what 4 games means.
Because I know. See? No.
we're using numbers and we don't even know what we're saying.
And the others, well.
Please change the rules. Please change the rules, MPB. Please change the rules. All right, let's move along.
My whole story in Kyoto News, I had to explain NPB's stupid rules.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's hard. All right, let's talk about the managerial changes now. At Yakult, they named their new man this past week, Mitsuru Manaka. He's the new skipper. He's 43. Do you think he's too young? I think he's too young. Do you think he's too young?
I think Manaka is a real... I don't know. He was an outfielder and a pinch hitter at the end of his career. He had, as I said the other day, he had a pinch hitting record of some sort that I don't remember what it was, and was all the Swallows guys got T-shirts commemorating his pinch hitting achievement.
Yeah.
He's a very nice, likable guy.
Is he too young was my question.
Yeah, I don't know what he's ever done. He's been a minor league manager.
He's been a minor league,
which is a huge plus in my eyes.
Yeah.
But I don't have any opinion of him at all, so I really can't say. I'll tell you, Ogawa was a favorite of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's such a level-headed, he does some silly things. Again, managers do silly things
because
they got
so
many chances to make. You give a guy a zillion chances to make mistakes, and he's going to make more than I do.
That, or you give a guy a million chances with a bad team, he's going to try something different sometimes.
Right. Okay, well, true. And, okay, it could, I'm going to go with the fact that Monarch is a good choice because he's the minor league manager, and 9 times out of 10, that works out. You make the minor league manager your manager, and as soon as he sort of slows down or hits the skids, you get rid of him and promote the next minor league manager.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just thought he has no top team managerial experience, but he's been a coach. He's been a hitting coach.
Yeah.
I don't know. The thing to me is that there were 2 things. It looked like a cheap contract. They have to pay a guy a bunch of money, and it gives them continuity because there's somebody there who's been there with the team, who knows some of the guys and knows their personalities. And
well, he knows the Swallows are a young team, and he was their manager on the farm team.
Right. And
I like that.
And he's got I don't know if it's him, but somebody got them to hit 26 points higher than they did last year as a team. And
well, the whole league batting average was up, so I don't think that's as big a – I think they were just part of
an uprising.
Everybody was higher, but they were better. But they were better, yes.
I mean, I let's just say he contributed to that somehow. Maybe he can do that.
And I think that's probably what the Swallows are thinking. Oh, well, he was a good batting coach, so let's make him a manager, which is probably the dumbest reason for hiring him.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And, I mean, you remember – Yutaka Takagi, who was the bench coach for the Yokohama DeNA BayStars, and I thought he would have been a great candidate to take over that team because we knew that he was running the BayStars when Kiyoshi Nakahata was just standing out there running around like a 50-year-old puppy, smiling for the cameras. I mean, Takagi did a great job in terms of teaching the players, and I thought he would have been a good person to come into that organization because he knows a lot of players. He knows a lot of those players, and he just got out of a situation where he was coaching. So I think he would have been somebody interesting, obviously outside of the organization. So I think they wanted to keep the continuity, and that's why they went with Manaka.
They have done that in the past. I don't know anything about. I don't know enough about Manaka that I would have any negatives. I mean, he was one of the good things about him is that he was a role player for much of his career under Katsuya Nomura.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these guys have been very effective coaches. Nomura, for whatever it's worth, Nomura put a premium on guys who were smart, who had some skills that they could apply to a game, in a money ball sense, guys whose skills who were undervalued by the market,
mm-hmm.
and who were therefore available. And Manaka was with the Swallows. He started with the Swallows, so it's not like he's one of the guys he acquired, but he was one of these guys. Another of these fellas is Hideki Hashigami, who was the Eagles coach when they had a bunch of Swallows guys up there a few years ago. And now he's a tactical coach with the Giants. He worked with the last WBC team. He's one of these guys who's probably going to be a manager before long. And he comes out of that same group. And I think there's something to be said for that. He was a successful minor league manager. I think he gets credit for that. So I think you have to wait and see what, is he a leader? I have no idea. He's very quiet. He's cheerful. He's upbeat. I like. I'm not fond of these maniacal people who want to do things for how they look.
Yeah. Well, I hope they do well. I'm just assuming a young guy like that probably has he's in touch with what's going on with the players, and it's a young team. You got Tetsuto Yamada, who's really young, and
they got some guys on the farm team who can really rake.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Central League pitchers don't want to hear that, but there's some guys on the Swallows farm team who can really hit.
Well, they're going to be raking in a lot of balls from the outfield if they don't get some pitching to go with it. But
well, I think in some defense is another issue, but they're going to hit.
All right.
They can stay healthy. They'll be okay.
Okay. Our outgoing managers now, Kenjiro Nomura officially, he said he was going to retire, and that kind of turned the tenor of the CLCS, because I thought it was going to be mostly about the team, and then it turned out to be, let's try to win one for Nomura because he's leaving. And he had told the players before they actually announced it in the media, and obviously, it's kind of sad because usually when a guy is going out like that, at least at the very last home game or something, he gets the chance to talk to the fans and say thank you and, I appreciate all the things that you guys did for us and all the support over the years and all that stuff. And he didn't get to do that, and his team didn't score a run in the two-game series, and he just sat there in the dugout and then said goodbye. And, I just thought it was really sad.
Well, he's kind of Nomura, however, he's a very classy guy. I don't want to say snob because I don't think that's appropriate,
mm-hmm.
But classy, and I guess, I don't know, he tends towards being aloof, but he gives that sort of vibe a little bit, but I find him to be quite friendly, but he's got one of those stares where if you don't know him and you're not certain whether he's approachable, he'll give you a look like, don't talk to me. But he's actually very approachable.
Oh, that's interesting, because I've never gotten that vibe from him, and I've always said hello. And he's one of the few managers who
into that with him as a manager until this year. When he was a player, we spoke from time to time.
Right.
I still have kind of a grudge against him, I guess, not – for something really idiotic. And I was thinking about that today when he brought in Shota Dobayashi to pinch hit, and the Dobayashi and Kikuchi came at the same time. to the carp, and Nomura was pretty much bent over backwards to make sure that Dobayashi got his number 7 that he wore as a player, and Kikuchi, who really wanted it badly, and Nomura was one of his favorite players, really wanted number 7. He got ended up with 33. And I was thinking, and Kikuchi's easily, he's the glue on that team. And I'm thinking, wow, he missed that one.
Yeah, you kind of missed on that one. All right, now we had also Seiichi Hoshino and Junji Ogawa had their last game ceremonies and speeches at their home parks, respectively. And I think Hoshino had a really – his event was more ceremonial. Both the guys said so long to baseball with losses. They lost at home. Both teams finished in last place, which I thought was kind of – well, it was coincidental, but basically ironic because – obviously Hoshino going from first to worst is, it hurts a lot. And then for Ogawa to finish in last place twice in a row or 2 years in a row, that hurts. So I don't know which one's worse. I guess 2 years in a row finishing in last place would be worse than actually winning. So Hoshino gave a really moving speech, and he didn't talk about memories so much. He just focused on what the fans and the team meant to him. And he talked about those things, whereas Ogawa more so reflected on his failures and the back-to-back finishes in the cellar, and you know,
that's what we all want to hear about.
He said he helped get some of the best out of the hitters, and he didn't point to the injuries. I thought it was really classy move that he didn't.
That was his whole thing. Now Ogawa had basically wanted to quit last year, and the Swallows convinced him to stay on. And they offered him a 1-year contract, and I get the feeling that it was not being extended this year.
Okay.
Well, so, and they did. I think that was by mutual consent.
Yeah. As long as you don't, so don't ask, don't tell. If you don't ask to come back, we won't tell you no.
but there was no, Ogawa was my favorite pre-game interview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pre-game press meeting.
Yeah, the little,
The guys, because he didn't mind sharing jokes, and he was never aloof or elite. He was like one of the guys, and he felt at home being with the reporters as the manager, but also, you know, somebody, you know, we do this every day, let's enjoy ourselves. He was a very very human, very warm, flesh and blood, ordinary guy. And I really enjoyed being around him, and I'm going to miss that.
That's interesting because he got a little emotional in his speech, and I never really seen that. Even when he was angry, I thought he was just barking like a feisty dog more so than actually being angry. I didn't think he was capable of really showing emotion. And
he is very professional, I think. You know,
that's what you call it? Because, I mean, I thought it was mechanical.
No, I think he's very... I think he said that when the first year he was managing, when he took over, he said that he had battled being, you know, he had to dealt with his anger a lot and his emotions, and he felt that they always kind of betrayed him. So he'd kind of learned to sort of like, you know, put things in perspective before he popped off.
All right. Well, he got emotional. He didn't actually cry, but it looked like he was going to, and that was enough for me. I'm like,
Hoshino
wow.
Teared up a bit.
Yeah, just a little. Although he said he claims he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't, but he was thinking about all the players he'd beat. He was thinking of all those fond memories.
He's like, oh, man.
Time he broke an umpire's ribs.
No more right crosses. No more slaps across the face to my idiot
no more
pitchers.
Kicking players when they're down, literally. So that was – I love the ceremony. I thought the Rock 10 does the ceremonies really well.
Yeah,
I
mean, it was really nice.
Last time they had a ceremony, they were – Well, I guess the last time they had a ceremony like that, they were basically showing Katsuya Nomura the door. It's like, aren't you out of here yet?
You old ratchety man, you.
Yeah. So anyway, it was a touching ceremony, and I enjoyed it. And I thought he had some, you know, he had a great line about he still sees that you know, clinching the Japan series with a, you know, against a team he basically had a vendetta against since they overlooked him in the draft. Mm-hmm. And he said that, you know, I wish, you know, we could have just stopped the clocks.
Yeah.
But time moves on, and so does Senichi Hoshino. You won't lack for seeing him. He'll be everywhere as he always is. He'll be on trains and TV and
commercials
and on broadcasts. So that's always good to see my buddy there.
Yep.
The question is, of course, who's going to manage these teams?
Yeah. I heard Dave Okubo was a front runner, or at least one of the names mentioned for.
Yeah, and then Oryx or Rakuten comes out and said, "We got a bunch of candidates," which is very Rakuten. But what do you think about Dave Okubo?
I liked what he did when he took over during his stint earlier, and I think I talked about it. You know, he was aggressive. He wanted his guys to hit and run. He was no Kenjiro Nomura sitting there waiting for something to happen. He was trying to make it happen, and I like that style. But of course, he might be too aggressive, and he might wear on guys. So he might be a two-year, three-year plan where, you know, you've got to get him out of there because he's gonna gnaw away at the emotions of his players so that they just have nothing left. I don't think he's a long-term solution.
As I said, he has had a history of being divisive. He was divisive with the Lions. He caused trouble when Watanabe Hisanobu took over as manager. Dave Okubo was his batting coach, who basically got into a war with the head coach about who should be on the team and who shouldn't be on the team.
Yeah.
And because Dave Okubo didn't like, you know, basically the Lions ended up, they had a very talented guy who's now, I think, with Oryx. Oryx or Hanshin, they traded him, but his career is over. But you know, 6 years ago, this guy was a pretty good hitter in the minor leagues. And instead, they ended up using guys like Kenta Matsusaka because Okubo liked him. When they had other guys, it was all about personalities, and Dave is a lot about personalities. And he's also, and now I hope he's past his instability because he's had issues with drinking and anger issues. He can be a very angry person. It got him into a little bit of trouble when he was with the Giants. It got him into a little trouble when he was a player with Cebu. Because when they passed him over, he basically bad-mouthed everybody. And he was a very rare Japanese. I like to go to these minor league players who have really good careers and who are quality hitters and ask them what they thought about being passed over promotion. And I'd say 80% of them will tell you it taught me inner lessons and how to deal with hardships and the way things are. Okubo basically said flat out, "I'll never forgive these guys for ruining my career."
Yeah.
The other guy who said something a little bit like that, although not as bitter about it, not as nasty about it, was Takeshi Yamasaki, who said basically, if you can hit in the, and something that is absolutely true, if you can hit in the minors, you can hit in the majors. It's not, and he said that, but Okubo had a chip on his shoulder. He does have a chip on his shoulder, and I think, and he gets personal, and he can be divisive, but that being said, as you pointed out, he has talents, and I hope he can get over that. And yeah, 2 or 3 years as a manager, let him try it. Although I think Rakuten's not the kind of organization that's going to say, this guy's got problems, let's see if he can work him out as our manager.
Yeah,
I think they'd like to see him work him out on the farm manager a little bit more.
As for the Carp, I kind of think they have somebody in mind. I just don't know who it is. And I'm not sure what direction they're going to go in. So I'm going to be keeping an eye on that.
I would, my top two guesses for the Carp, I'll say three. One is Odyuzo Yamasaki, who's, I think, been a longtime farm manager and therefore, in my eyes, a good guy. Now, I don't know him at all. I know Marty Brown thought the world of him. How odd that a longtime farm AAA manager would think highly of the Carp farm manager. But he thought highly of him. And I think two guys from the traditional former Carp star who became a, you know, former team star who became a broadcast media analyst would be pitching coach Yutaka Ono.
Uh-huh.
Or who appeared to be kind of like the Carp head coach. I don't know what his role was in the Carp. And the other guy would be Takahiko Kobayakawa. The former first baseman, and now he's an NHK analyst.
Analyst, yeah. Interesting. All right, well, we'll keep an eye on both of those jobs. It's going to be interesting in the offseason. Now, I want to touch on a couple notes. Tetsuto Yamada, the hitman, the little hitman, he finished with 193 hits, and that set the single-season record for Japanese right-handed batters, and topping the old Mr. Hanshin, or Mr. Tigers, Fumio Fujimura. And again, he only had one more hit after that. I guess we talked about it last week, and he had there was one other game. He had one hit in that game, and I was sitting there ready to tweet that he'd get the hit, and I was thinking these exact words. This is when he broke the record, because he had one more hit after that game that he broke the record. But I was sitting there thinking, well, he's not Derek Jeter. He came up with the bases loaded, and he's not Derek Jeter. He's not going to do some drama queen thing. And then, boom, he hits the ball out and hits a
slam. Rerun
homer,
baby.
No, it was a slam. It was a slam. And I just had to laugh because, you know, this pitch floated over the heart of the plate from our buddy, Shun Yamaguchi, and there was nothing he could do with it except to hit it out. It was that bad a pitch. I mean, but he's just a marvel. He hits pitches inside. He hits them outside. He hits them up. He hits them down. He hits hard stuff, soft stuff, lefty, righty, day, night, indoor, outdoor. Didn't see him miss many pitches the whole season. He says he wants to get 200 hits. I say you gotta to do that. The only flaw, and this is not a flaw because he just hit the ball hard. He hit it well all season. Is he only had 12 infield hits, and I think if he ups his number of infield hits, that he could get to 200 easily. Because you know, somebody called him the right-handed Ichiro, and I'm like, no. Ichiro had a lot more infield hits, and he's a lot faster. So, you know, with the 39 doubles and the 29 home runs, I don't think he's a right-handed Ichiro. So that's,
you know, the guy he could be is, Hiroki Kokubo. He's not big,
I see.
But that kind of a player,
yeah.
Guy is going to hit 300 every year with pretty good power and, you know, can play the infield well enough to stick around and.
Right.
Yeah, I see this guy. It's just amazing. And then the other thing is because he came out of high school. He didn't start out of high school, which is, you start when you can. But he was he's a heck of a hitter. Could easily go to the majors, I think, with his bat speed if he can go quickly enough.
Improve the D. All right.
So one thing I do want to comment on, and I'm to surprise you, is they named speaking of Kokubo, he named his team to face the major leaguers in November.
Right.
And the most interesting thing was talking about Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Which I
saw some comments. I don't know if you're going to go.
Yeah. I don't want him to bat. You know, I want him to focus on pitching. Use him in relief and then use him as a starter. No, he named
him. Yeah. He wants to use him exclusively as a pitcher. And I'm like, dude.
I mean, this is...
You're ruining our dream.
Well, that's the other thing is I badly need to talk to Kokubo.
Yeah, he's
discuss
not...
Discuss things, because I get the feeling, you know, that and the fact that, you know, about a third of the team play for SoftBank.
Yeah, that too. Well, you need to...
Of the pitchers, thank goodness.
Yeah, when you talk to him, remind him that Ohtani does not belong to him. He's ours.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and the
just
comment,
remind him of that.
I'm really curious to hear what major league scouts are saying about Ohtani this winter.
Yeah, I think it's this thing that we're going to hear.
Because I got this comment from one major league general manager that, are you kidding? I'll let him hit if I can get him the pitch. I'll let him hit. I'll let him play the outfield whenever he wants.
Oh, that's beautiful. Sign him. I want that guy to sign him. All right, we got to run here, but one more note now. Alex Ramirez Ramichan, he's 40 years old, and he's apparently going to retire.
He's admitted to being 40
I'm sorry,
years
yeah.
old.
The rumor is we have
He's no... also admitted to being much older than that, if you remember 2-3 years ago when he got his 2000 hit.
Yeah,
it was the first time he ever let on that he was over. He was probably over 40 then.
Yeah. And one day we'll share that Marty Brown comment again. But he got no offers from any MPB teams. He played in the Independent League this past season with the Goonma Diamond Pegasus team. And, yeah, 45 games. He had 13 doubles and 7 home runs, 38 RBIs, and he's going to retire. So I just think it's kind of sad that he's going out this way, because I actually think the Yakult Swallows should call him back and have a retirement game for him. Not maybe a game where he plays, but just a ceremony. And I think that would be nice for him, because
I think that would be, because he was a big part of that team. And I think and he's a guy who hasn't burned any bridges. He still wants to be that manager. And I, you know, what I would like to see is for Mitsuru Monaco to say, I want him on my coaching staff.
That'd be perfect. That'd be perfect. Of course, if he does that, then, you know, that's a rival, because that's going to be somebody who's out for his job, who's openly out for the job of manager,
for his job.
Yeah, but he would, obviously, if they don't do well.
And then, well, they had that guy already, and the guy's doing NHK now.
Yeah, but the thing about the Swallows is everybody gets hurt and it's next man up, so.
Exactly.
That's a little bit too close for comfort, I think.
The first question for a new prospective Swallows manager is, do you know what to do with a first aid kit?
All right. Well, no, but we know what to do when time is out, and time is out. So thanks a lot for listening to the end. If you have any questions or comments, send them to yakyujohn@gmail.com or leave us a note on the Facebook page. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week when hopefully the Climax Series are over and we have our matchup for the Japan Series. Thanks a lot, and enjoy your baseball.
Talk to you next week.
One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.